Our scripture reading today is from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 22. Hear now God's word. Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear and do not be intimidated. But in your heart, sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good. If suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So this whole scripture, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 to 22, is chock full of some seriously good stuff. Although I guess that's easy to say. I can say that about pretty much all the scripture. But this has a whole lot of things that we could spend a whole lot of time on. One of them being what baptism means and how it has effects on salvation and God's presence. We could talk about the time of Noah's and how the flood was a precursor to baptism. We could talk about what in the world it means that Jesus went down and ministered to the spirits who were in prison. What spirits, what prison, all that kind of stuff. But today we're going to talk about this idea of being ready and what that means. Are you ready is such a common question we can ask to one and ask one another. It's a common question we ask ourselves. Are we ready? And it's so hard to answer. My goodness. When I met Stephanie January 2003, near the end of the month. In April of 2003, I thought I was ready to marry her. So I asked her. I asked her if she would marry me, just knowing her for three months, because I thought we were ready. Whatever that means. You know, so she said yes. She had her reservations. I mean, it was very, very quick. I don't think she completely felt ready. So we went through a book, kind of like a marriage counseling book, and that helped. And even though on our wedding day of June 20th, we'll say that, she's not here, we got married. And, you know, I felt ready. Absolutely. But how can you prepare for a marriage? It has been wonderful. A blessing for the 17 years that we've been married. I thank God for it. But as many of you who are married or have been married understand, that there's also challenges. Blessed challenges at time, but challenges. And you can be ready as you possibly can, but there's always little surprises here and there. I think about this COVID thing, for example. How many of you have felt completely ready for a pandemic to hit Earth? Probably very few, if any, here in this gathering. But there were people who were ready. I was talking to a guy the other day that reminded me that there were some people who were ready for this pandemic. You've heard of the phrase preppers. People who stockpile food, paper products, who have a bunker in their house, who have air filtration systems, people who stock up on masks already and gloves and, you know, all this stuff. The preppers were ready. A lot of them were ready for this. I doubt when they were prepping that this is exactly what they had in mind, although for some of them it may be the case. But whatever it is they were prepping for, they were the best prepared for this pandemic to hit. The thing is it's hard to be absolutely ready for every situation that we may face in life. But Peter wants us to be ready in our scripture reading today. Verse 15, starting with the word always. Always be prepared to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Peter is asking us to be ready. To be ready to share the story of why Christ gives us hope. To be ready to share the story of why we know that this is going to be okay one way or another. Peter's making a big assumption here. The assumption is that living in Christ, we live differently from other people. That people are able to look at us and think something's different about them. Something's not what I notice in other people. An example, my mom has a neighbor. So many of you know my mom is the wife of a pastor, my dad, in Irwin there. And when she moved into the parsonage, she ended up moving right next door to an old high school friend, one that she hasn't seen for a long time. It was a great blessing. But she was out helping this friend over the house the other day, and the friend was a little nervous that she had just found out that the coronavirus was hitting a little closer to home than what she had liked, as is the case for many of us. And she was bothered by it. And she asked my mom why she wasn't afraid. And mom said something like, you know, I am afraid a little, but I don't let it get to me. And I've heard that answer from a lot of people, that I'm afraid. I am a little. I'm afraid of getting it. I'm afraid of kind of what the outcome of that might be. I'm more afraid of giving it, should I ever get it. But I know that no matter what happens, God's got this. God's in control of this. That it'll be okay. However that's defined. I don't know what that will look like, but I know that God will walk with me every step of the way. And Peter wants us to share that story with those who may ask us to give account of that. Why aren't you afraid? Why do you think it'll be okay? Why do you think God's got this? What is it about your life that tells you that God's in control of what's going on? The neat thing of what Peter's asking us is he's not asking us to be a doctor of ministry. He's not asking us to understand all the theological arguments. God's Peter's not telling us to understand all the mysteries of the Bible, to know how to read Greek and Hebrew. Peter is just asking us to be able to share our story. What's your story? Do you know it? Do you know how to share it? Do you know how to tell people what it is that makes you trust in the Lord? The reason why this is so important, and I'm learning this through the pandemic and the social isolation, I think we all are, is that connection is so important. And the reason connection is so important is because we all have shared experiences. That we're all tied together because we're human. And our experiences help to relate one another to each other. So your story, whatever it is, it may sound common to you in your own ears, may be able to touch the lives of someone else profoundly because the Holy Spirit is working in your telling of it. Trinity as a church has a good story. It's a church that's able to share the love with those whom it encounters because of what it has gone through as a church. That story is powerful because the Holy Spirit makes it so. So I pray that during this pandemic, whenever we have the chance to share why we have hope, that we're able to do so with reverence, with patience, and with love. Because it's an important moment to be able to share our story with one another. I pray for the opportunities to do so, and that we do so with sincerity and confidence that the Holy Spirit is with us every step of the way. So I leave you with this benediction. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, now and forever. Amen and amen.